This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater for Phillies spring training. Coming up in a half an hour, we'll talk to new Phillies hard-throwing lefty, Jesus Luzardo, who everyone seems to be the most excited about. I mean, truly, when you ask people down here, I mean, you were excited.
Thank you.
But Boa brought him up right away. You know, everyone seems to be pretty pumped about
Luzardo.
They
all see the vision. They all see the vision.
Well, it all comes...
keep him healthy.
That's what it comes down to.
Because, yeah. Listen, he made 32 starts 2 years ago. Yeah. He's never made... I don't think he's made
anything
more than...
close to that.
More than 20.
Yeah. Well, I looked at his...
I noticed.
Yeah.
Our spring training coverage brought to you by our friends at Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. And since we are in Clearwater, no better time than to dial in on the Phils with our Phils guy right here.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
Well, not a great day for the Fightins.
No, they lost by 100.
They lost by a million.
Yeah, lost by 100. Even Wheels got a little shook up.
Yeah, so Wheels today, 2 innings pitched, 5 earned.
Nah, he was working on stuff.
Yeah.
It's just spring.
Yeah, again, this is how spring training works.
Yep.
When guys are going off, they're having a breakout year. When they're struggling, they're just working on stuff. So, you know, that's what we kind of saw from Wheeler today. Ranger looked good. From what we saw from here and the little bit I was able to watch. So Ranger got on the mound, Wheeler on the mound. Good to see there. Also good to see, and little Max Kepler went yard.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, listen.
Is that the one with the ball up here?
No, that was late. Max Kepler hit one much earlier. So the big news besides Wheeler, and then we'll get to the topic of the day.
Okay.
Bryce batted second again.
Again.
So the top four, for those keeping track at home, after Spike reported that Bryce was worried about his contract.
You're going to keep doing that, and it's going to stick, and I did not report it. I wondered aloud, and I didn't even say, you know what, I'm not even going to explain myself. You're the worst.
He is the worst.
He is the worst.
Yes. You think we'll ever have T-Mac back on? No?
Yeah. No, if I was T-Mac, I would have punched you right in the head.
Dude, the Andy Reid thing was out of pocket.
Totally out of line.
Yes.
I kind of felt like we were in a good moment.
Yeah.
I felt like we were vibing.
Then you ruined it.
Yeah, well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I do. It also seems like there's not much buzz about me being down 20, but Harper batting second today and the top four of the lineup, I hope that's what it is on opening day.
Turner, just makes sense.
Turner, Harper, Bohm. If you want to put Castellanos there, whatever. It's Castellanos or Bohm there. And Bohm can bat the ball, hit the ball the opposite way, and Schwarber batting fourth. Just let it happen.
Harper is batting third.
Harper is batting
you
second.
You know it, and I know it.
After our conversation, when he's told Rob Thompson, I will do what the team asks.
We will. Yeah. Well, you're ruining the interview for tomorrow.
Don't worry. That's called a tease.
3:30 tomorrow, right? You'll be able to hear Bryce Harper on the WIP afternoon show.
If you want his thoughts on the lineup. But I hope it's the opening day lineup. And the fact they've done it back-to-back games, I think, is noteworthy. So I thought that was good. But where I want to go today with the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is, like, I think that there's one player that's going to make or break this season. And I asked Tom McCarthy that, like, his make or break Philly. And I think this season comes down to whether or not Trey Turner is a superstar or not. Like, the Phillies have good players, right? They have Harper, who's a superstar. They have Schwarber, who's a really good player. And then it's a collection of really good players. But they paid a guy $300 million to be a difference maker. And when you see the Dodgers and you see the real stars they have in that lineup, like, I don't think they can win the World Series, make the NLCS, if Trey Turner is... I don't think he's going to be just a guy, but I don't think he can just be good. I think Trey Turner is the number one make or break guy. The rotation, I think we all feel pretty good about, right? Like, even if Luzardo's not healthy or he can't stay healthy, he's the number five starter. You know, Ranger's in a contract year. Nola's always going to be your 200 innings of pretty good pitching. Sanchez, maybe he takes a step forward and is the number two. Wheeler, not today, notwithstanding. We feel good about that. The bullpen is the bullpen. You know, like, there are good guys out there. But if Trey is not a top three shortstop in baseball, like, I know defensively, whatever. If he's not a difference-making bat, I just don't see it adding up on a team going on a run here.
Yeah, see, I think he's going to be fine. I really do.
But what's fine?
Well, I mean, I think he's going to go back to being the Trey Turner he was before he came here.
Does he hit 318?
Yeah.
320?
Yeah. I think he hits closer to 300. I think last year, so the first year we saw what happened, right? And it took for Jack to bring him up from the dead in the second half of the season.
Only when he plays good.
And that was great. But I thought last year he pressed a little bit. Like, he pressed in there a little bit. But he was having success also. He was having success, but he's also up there as if he doesn't have a game plan of what he's trying to do.
Well, when he gets out of sync, he gets really out of sync. When he's hot, he's hot. I mean, he started the short. He started the All-Star game at shortstop.
Yeah.
He's batting .330 at one point last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you almost forget how good he played in that first half.
It's just
the hamstring.
The hamstring, and he just cannot be a high and low guy. And that's where I think people, when the lows look so bad.
I think when he's at a low, I think he is tougher to watch than Castellanos.
Well, because
I remember that ball he swung at that was like a foot in front of the plate.
Yeah,
Orioles series.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It's a good point on Trey because I think Trey, you know, Stott can play better.
That's where I'm at.
But I don't think I think the difference is Trey has. We think he could be a superstar.
Right.
Stott. Okay. Maybe
we know there's a ceiling.
Yeah. Maybe he hits .287 with 17 home runs, and that helps them. But I think that Trey is the one who we hope could have the upside of being somebody. I don't think he had one hot streak last year, but he could be a guy that nobody wants to face. And I didn't think that was him for most of last year.
Like, let's put it this way: we love Bryce, but Trey should be their best player. Like, when all things considered, right? I mean, he can run, fielding notwithstanding. But at the plate, he's a dynamic force. Like, he can do it all when he's Trey Turner. He should be a 25, 310 to 320 hitter, steal 30. That's a high, high, high-level player. And I just – if he's not that, the upside isn't there for me. Like, I think he's the biggest make-or-break fill.
Yeah, now listen, I hear you there. I was going to go Bryson Stott. I think Stott changes. If Stott goes back to 23 Stott, I think this lineup, because now you can move him up higher in the lineup.
Well, you can have him hit too.
Right, right. I think you can have him up higher in the lineup. If he can get back to hitting the way he was, we know his defense is outstanding over there at second base. It makes this lineup look a whole lot different.
And deeper.
You know, and he can run.
Yes,
he
can run too.
He's a runner.
I think the thing on Trey is
in no stratosphere would I believe Trey Turner would ever be a better player than Bryce Harper, especially since Bryce is at first base now. He's damn near Gold Glove first baseman over there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, I think he can impact the game in a lot of ways. Like, I know that Bryce. It's not that Bryce isn't good. I just think that Trey can be. He can be a superstar.
He can be such a good hitter that we don't have conversations about his fielding.
Right.
And that's how good a hitter he has to be. That you don't care that he doesn't field a great
until
he makes an error.
Yeah, but no one was talking about when he's hitting .330 last year. It was when he started swinging at everything. That's when everyone's like, well, look at the defense too.
Just, yeah.
It's so much easier to mask when he's doing that. So
I agree.
We'll see. Like, Boehm, obviously important, can't be a disaster, of course.
All-star third baseman.
Yeah, people forget that. Which do people forget more, that he started at third base or Turner started at shortstop?
Turner starting at shortstop, because I actually forgot about that. I didn't realize Turner started at shortstop in the all-star game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
See?
It was Harper, Turner, Boehm.
Wait, didn't we have, like, eight all-stars or something insane?
They had two middle relievers in Hoffman and Schramm, which will not happen
again.
They were great.
They were lights out. They had one ERA.
Wheeler, Sanchez,
yep.
And then Ranger made it, but I don't think he pitched.
Right, because Ranger was 10-0, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and his arm was dead, too. We were at that game.
Well,
he
didn't. The A's game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the game.
Oh, was that the game?
Yeah.
Well, that was his last. Yeah, that was when it started to started to fall off a cliff. And then that Sunday, do you remember the guy had two home runs that traveled at 850 feet, it seemed
Rooker?
Like? Yeah, Rooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't recover after that. They lost like 20-2 to the A's.
Yeah, well, they were ready for All-Star break. They were ready to go to the All-Star game. Yeah. And they never came back from it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. It's a good point. I wonder what people's – if you have an opinion, I wonder what people's faith is in Trey Turner being a superstar-level player.
Because I think
again.
He's the one that has drawn the most ire from fans this offseason. And it's because of the Chase stuff. It's the Chase stuff. It's the contract. It's the defense. Yeah. It's all of that. But he did still have a good year. He set a good year last year at the plate.
It was good, but it wasn't difference-making good.
No.
Yeah. All right. Esther in Garnet Valley. You're on WIP. Esther.
Hi. Yes, hi.
Hi, Esther.
Thank you. First time caller, long time listener. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yep, thanks for calling.
Gosh. So, yeah, while I was on hold, the breaking news, Saquon. So I just want to congratulate Saquon on the new deal. It's well deserved. So I'll start with that. But I actually wanted to talk about the Phillies.
Yep.
So I agree with Spike and Ike. I think it's a mentality thing. I'm really concerned about the hitting. It gets cold during the playoffs, and I just don't understand the approach. I feel like maybe because I'm more of an Eagles fan, like when there's issues, like in 2023, there's issues about picking up the blitz. You know, so what do? They hire an experienced offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, and they address the issue, and you could see Jalen's growth. With the Phillies, I don't see that as much. Chasing has been an issue two postseasons in a row. And so that's the big elephant in the room for me. Like, why, what is it? Is it coaching? I don't know. Like, I hear that Kevin Long, the hitting coach, is like an elite coach or whatever, and a player, he's a player's coach. But I feel like there needs to be an emphasis and talk radio, we need to talk about it more. Like, we definitely harp on when Jalen Hurts has issues, you know, like we harp on his weaknesses. Yeah. Why don't we have the same level of scrutiny and accountability when it comes to Phillies players? And you know, I don't know
Fritz.
One other point. There was
I'll let you make your other point, but I want to respond to that.
Okay.
I think what happens with the Phillies is they feel so unbeatable when they're hot that when they go cold, they're chasing being hot instead of trying to just win the game. And I think coaching is a part of it, but I also think it is who they are as players to an extent. It's not Bryce. Right, Bryce. I think Bryce Harper always has the same approach. I don't think he is swinging for the fences when he shouldn't be. But I think there is almost something, sort of like a team that shoots a lot of threes. When they get hot, they feel unbeatable. And I think the Phillies are always chasing that unbeatable feeling, because when they are hot, they are you've seen what happened, right? They go to the World Series in 22.
Right.
But when it goes cold, instead of dialing in and if you want to use a football analogy, just completing the 6-yard pass, they're always chasing the big play and they're chasing that feeling. And I don't know how to get somebody out of that if that's who they are. The bigger question is that who they are as players, or is it that the coaching staff or the leadership with the players is not focusing enough on dialing in?
I just think coaching, it's hard. It's more of a personnel issue than anything. And the problem is these guys are under contract for a little bit. And hopefully, like, I think that you can make marginal changes.
Yeah.
I just think it's hard to say, okay, Trey, stop chasing. Because he is who he is.
Right.
So I coaching is an aspect of it, but I think what they go back to is what got them here.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, I follow football more, but it seems like there needs to be an offensive strategy. Because, like, it's embarrassing that the Arizona Diamondbacks defeated the Phillies like they did. And they were, like, young players. They weren't even veteran, like, really super veterans. And sometimes the game could have been won with small ball. But it's like, you know, it's home run or bust. They're streaky. And it's like the same thing over and over again. So it's just like, unlike the Eagles, where, like, I feel like they, you know, maybe they can't resolve their issues, like, in 2023 within season, they definitely come back stronger, and they address their weaknesses. So I guess I don't understand baseball in the sense that they leave it to the player to address their own individual issues, or is there the manager, there's, like, an offensive strategy, like an offensive coordinator and a hitting coach that, like, you know, really harps that, like, because, like, that's why they're all, you know, all-stars and reputable players, but that's how you lose to people, I mean, to other players that are less established. You're just not doing the simple things. And then also I wanted to make the point that when you talk about, you know, the players, I feel like they're lacking dogs. Like, you know, Sirianni talks about dog mentality. I don't see that as much. Harper, I see it, but I feel like, okay, like Gene Segura, you know, like he wasn't, like, you know, super all-star, but I just felt like he had a different personality, a different mentality. There was, like, some, I don't know, it was some kind of Twitter post when they lost to the, I think it maybe last postseason. Somebody, I don't know if it was Barstool or whatever, they were talking about some of these players, they come from backgrounds where, you know, it's like soccer moms, you know, they got, you know, it's not, they don't have the struggle in them. Like, I mean, that was a little controversial, you know, if people push back. But I wonder if they need to mix it up through trading or maybe not renew some contracts for these players to bring in more struggle.
Thank you for the call, Esther.
I believe you, Esther.
Yeah, I think we can all agree if they do not go deep into the playoffs this year, there will be significant changes before next year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think it's possible that in the middle of the year, you know, it's always the hitting coach first. So Kevin Long, it's possible Kevin Long gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, I go back and forth, because I do think you could have the best coach in the world. If the player's not good at X, he might not ever be good at X. Some players are just good at what they're good at. But I think at the end of the day, the thing that frustrated me the most is their lack of ownership of those issues. Whether they can fix them or not, the trying is something that should happen, you know?
Well, their only answer was, we just got to get hot at the right time.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Why can't you just grind it out?
Right.
That's what was frustrating, and when they go through those spells, is that it's so feeble. It's so few.
You know what's going to happen every inning.
Yes.
Every at bat.
Yes.
Yes. 215-592-9494. Ed in Williamstown. You're on WIP. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, Spike? Mike, other guy. So,
whoa.
Yeah,
is that T-Mac?
I forgot your name. Fritz. All right. So, anyway, very happy for Saquon. I mean, he deserves more than anyone. The guy is a class act. He's a team player all the way through. You know, that last game of regular season, he could have played. I think Sirianni, you know Sirianni, I'm sure he went to him and said, you know what, I'm not going to stay in your way. This is up to you. And he said, you know what, the team comes first. And that was
actually the opposite of what happened. He said he wanted to play, and
he was pretty pissed he didn't get to go for it.
But they won the Super Bowl.
We still love him, man. We still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we still won the Super Bowl. And I think looking back on it, he's probably okay with how everything went.
Yeah. Well, he definitely is today.
Well, he has 36 million reasons to be okay with.
Hey, how about that being part of the we didn't break the record?
What?
I'm sure he's very happy, but.
Wow, $36 million because we didn't let you play against the Giants.
Yeah, not bad.
Right.
I won't play against the Giants for $36
million. But he's a team player is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, we agree.
We love Saquon. I want to play first base. I want a contract extension. Come on, Bryce. This is bigger than you, Bryce.
Yeah, there we go.
You realize this guy is so overrated.
Why is he overrated? Why is he overrated, moron?
Go with his through. No, don't call him.
No, he's a moron. Why is he overrated? Why is he overrated?
13 years in the major leagues, he's hit over 100 RBIs one time.
He has two MVPs and one as a Philly. What are you talking about? He's a lock Hall of Famer if he retired today.
I don't care who voted for him. They're fooled, okay? He has over 40 home runs one time in a season, over 100 RBIs one time in a season, in 13 years. Look at the stats, okay? This guy is no superstar.
Oh, okay. Now, you're a genius. Okay. I got it. Well, okay. What do you think about him having the third highest OPS in the history of the postseason? Does that matter at all?
He was only in so many postseason games. Why did Washington let him go and win a World Series the very next year?
They offered him a contract with deferred money, and he didn't want to sign a deferred money contract. The Nationals didn't pay anyone. They let that whole core break up.
Yeah, but his point, Ed's point, just trying to clarify Ed's point, that the Nationals won the World Series the year
before. I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware. Okay. And the Phillies have been to the World Series since the Nationals
won the World
Series.
How many times have they won it? I appreciate it. The guy
you're a moron.
This name.
No, you're a moron. You don't know what you're talking about.
Ike, who do you think's the moron, Jack or Ed?
Look at the stats, buddy. Look at the stats.
The stats are great. The stats are great. What are you talking about?
I'm not hanging up on
that.
Yes, they are.
25 home runs and 75 RBIs a year. That
oh, my God. He's been over a 900 OPS for a majority of his career. He had a down year twice. He has an MVP as the Philly. He has the 2022 postseason. He has the third highest postseason OPS in history as a Philly behind Ruth and Gehrig. Like, what are we talking about? I know. He's amazing. He's a bum. They've won a championship.
Ed, quick question. Who's got more championships, Jalen Hurts or Bryce Harper?
Jalen Hurts.
Who's better at their sport, Jalen Hurts or Bryce Harper?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, my ass. Wow. Yeah, you're a moron.
Yeah. You got anything else before we let you go, Ed? I'm not going to hang up until you're done.
Look at his stats. Look at Pat Burrell's stats. They're very similar. He's very Pat Burrell-esque.
Same player.
I'm going to go look at
him. All right, and we buried Pat Burrell. So when are we going to wake up and realize this is a bad sign?
That's a good point.
Pat Burrell led us to a World Series.
Yep, Pat Burrell has more rings than Bryce.
He does.
Yes, yeah. He does.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Ed. Yep. I appreciate you.
Adam Eaton has more World Series rings than Bryce, too.
That was tough, Jack.
Jack, do you think Bryce is maybe a little overrated?
No, what I heard, was because Broads, I think, is infringing on my Bryce territory, and I had to get it back.
Well, you know what's happening with Broads. Broads loves Jalen Hurts. He loves Bryce Harper. He's like Mr. Thirst. He's just leaning in.
Yep. Broads is very energetic at 4 this morning on the drive-in.
Was he?
Yes. Unbelievable.
So, Ike, what do you think of this? What do you think of the sound of this? Ike, Spike, and Broads.
Ooh.
What would be the point of that, though?
Fritz is having a tough 20 minutes here.
Fritz did not like that call from Ed.
He did not.
Jumped right to moron. People say I'm the combative one.
I do it in an endearing way.
No, do you? All right.
That didn't feel endearing.
Didn't feel endearing to me at all. All right. 215-592-9494. We are the WIP Afternoon Show. We're in Clearwater for spring training. That coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. And speaking of the Phillies, their biggest offseason acquisition is a flame-throwing left-hander named Jesus Luzardo. And we will talk to Jesus Luzardo next about everything, about staying healthy, right? About his mindset going in when he wants to strike out a guy, about the time when he reportedly broke his finger playing video games, throwing a tantrum. We'll talk about all that next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at BayCare Ballpark at Philly Spring Training in Clearwater with brand-new left-hander, brand-new to us, Jesus Luzardo. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Here, well, we get that a little bit closer to you.
There we go.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So it's like a new job for you, right? With all new people. You're doing the same thing, but new job. What's it like being with a whole new team? How have the last couple of weeks been with you, you know, getting to know the guys?
It's been great. Yeah, it's like coming to a new school. You know, got to make new friends. And luckily, I was able to face a lot of them for a long time. So kind of felt like we knew each other just from across the field. But now, being able to get to know them and see like the human side of it all, it's awesome. We got a great group of guys here, and they've been really welcoming. So I'm excited about it.
Are you the kid at the new school who goes up and introduces yourself to everyone else, or do you sort of wait for you know, it's like a weird thing. It's, you know, 40 new guys all at once.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I'm pretty introverted and quiet. I always have been pretty shy. So, I you know, I make it a point to go up and introduce myself to everyone and make sure, you know, obviously pay my respects, say what's up. And I think it was kind of a little bit of both. Kind of I went up to most people, and the people I didn't get a chance to, they came up to me. So it was good.
There's always that weird moment where you see someone four different times and you don't say hello, and then it becomes too late to actually introduce yourself. So
yeah, you can't ask the name anymore.
Yep, like, it's too late. Yeah. So you're left-hander. Left-handers are weird. Is there anything weird about you?
I mean, I think a lot of things, maybe. I think I'm pretty normal, but if you ask most people, they probably say I'm pretty weird. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I can't do anything with my right hand. I mean, I can't even eat cereal with my right hand. I'm lefty through and through, so I got to have some kinks in me somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lightweight offended by that. I'm left-handed. Too. Yeah.
And you're pretty
I'm
weird.
Left-handed. Yeah. Yeah.
We all got something.
So, Spike asked you about being new to the team, right? Has there been sort of a vet in here, say like Zach Wheeler? Mm-hmm. What's it been like getting a chance to work with him?
It's been great. I mean, just watching him, how he goes about his business, and just kind of here and there, being able to pick his brain, you know, what he thinks, how he goes about game days and how he preps his body and little things like that, you know, what he might think of during a certain situation. Just being able to watch him work, throw with him a little bit. It's been awesome so far, and obviously, you know, the proof is in the work and what he's able to do throughout his career. So I'm excited to see more and more of him and the rest of the guys as well.
What's it been like working with Caleb Cotham? You know, he's done a great job of getting these guys to reach kind of their full potential. What's it been like working with the Phil's pitching coach?
It's been great. You know, I think the whole staff that they have around him and him with his group, it's been great. You know, they're not overbearing. They don't throw too much at you, but at the same time, they want to get the best out of you, like you said. So it's a good mix of just the right amount of coaching and just the right amount of, you know, kind of laid back and let you do your thing, which I love. I think that we have a lot of talent here, so they have that right mix of letting that talent work, but at the same time, you know, trying to get the most out of us.
You're a strikeout pitcher. So what is I've always been interested in, like, the chess game and the mindset of going against a hitter and thinking that you want to strike him out. Is it how much of it is a guessing game? How much of it is intimidation? How much of it is you just throwing the pitch you want to throw? What is the mindset when you go in and you want to do something like that?
I would love early contact any point of a game. But if I need to go out and get a strikeout, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's knowing, you know, where you can go find a strike early. Obviously lean on my strengths more than their strengths, more than their weaknesses, I guess you could say. If I need to lean on something specific, I'm going to find the pitch that I throw and I feel the most confident in, and then a pitch that I have conviction in. But, you know, when we get to two strikes, it's, you know, like we say, we smell blood in the water. So, that's when you kind of get that extra, kind of boost. And that's when you find the wipeout pitch to wipe them out with.
Any trash talk?
I think everyone has an edge. I think the best pitchers have a way, and, you know, athletes in general, I think you have to find a way to get an edge against the other team. Some guys are more, you know, they have to make up an edge against the hitter or against the pitcher. Some guys are a little more laid back, like Ranger Suarez, you know, he's just kind of a silent killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, there's other guys that have to find that edge. I feel like I need to find a little bit of an edge, have a little animosity between me and the hitter. But, you know, once that at-bat's over, it's nothing personal. It's more of just me on the mound. That's the mentality I take.
Now, you've been in this division, so you know these guys as opponents. They're your teammates now. What made this team sort of attractive to you and made you want to be a part of this team?
I mean, the talent, the success, the track record that they've had in the previous years, you know, making it to the playoffs. Also, they have a great track record of keeping their pitchers healthy. And obviously, they have a lot of workhorses. You got Wheeler and Nola, who's thrown, I think, 200 innings for, it seems like, forever. So something about them just kind of, you know, caught my eye, obviously, going against them. Playing in Philly always, the atmosphere has been great. So it's something that, you know, you always want to play in front of passionate fans as well. And that's something that I think everyone that puts a jersey on wants to do.
Yeah, because you started game one in 2023. What can you kind of remember about walking into Citizens Bank Park that day?
Yeah, I mean, I remember my family was in town. We were walking around. I think I went to Reading Terminal Market, and you just feel like the energy of the city was alive. And you could just feel, you know, going to the ballpark. And then when I first stepped out to start warming up, you could just hear all the boos just coming from all over the place. And I loved it. I mean, I just, you know, playing that villain role, being, you know, getting booed, it, you know, there's a reason why they're booing you. So I loved it. I had a great time. But obviously now I'm more excited to be on the home side for it.
Has anyone on the team talked to you about the fans? Because we, you know, we can be great fans, and then also we can we have a history of being difficult if things aren't going our way. Have you had that conversation with anybody yet?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says it. You know, the fans let you know if you're doing well or you're doing bad.
Yeah.
they'll make sure to let you know. But at the end of the day, I respect it. You know, I mean, I was a fan growing up. You know, I still am a fan of the game and of multiple sports, and I feel the same way, you know. So for me, you know, I like the Dolphins growing up. So I get frustrated when the Dolphins aren't doing well. And so I understand the fan side, and I respect it. You know, if I'm not doing well, I deserve to get booed. So I don't take it to heart. And if anything, it motivates me to be better.
We're in Clearwater with Phillies lefty Jesus Luzardo. You mentioned the, you know, that the Phillies have been able to keep their guys healthy, and you've gone through some injury stuff over throughout your career. Is it something when you're pitching that you're, I know I would get anxious about it, right? Every time I feel a little thing, you know, I'd wonder if that was something. Is it something that you think about when you're out there? And if it isn't, how do you work to put that out of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of repetition and work to just kind of get past that. Last year with the back, you know, my last five or six starts, it was a grind every time out. And this year, you know, coming back, just it wasn't even in the back of my mind. Just so much work and practice went into the offseason that when I got on the mound, I didn't even think of it. Definitely, I think you're a little more you notice certain things. You know, you notice certain things. Hey, I felt this before. I haven't felt this before. And it kind of creeps into the back of your mind. But at the end of the day, when you're on the mound, all you can do is compete. So it's just you turn into that fight or flight mode where I got to do whatever it takes to get out of this inning. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you feel. You feel like you can't let your teammates down. So for me, that's what I think. But thankfully, everything's been feeling really well. And I don't, you know, don't have any issues so far.
What's the sense in the clubhouse? I know it's still early in spring training. We had a difficult ending to the season last year, losing to the Mets in that divisional round. I'm wondering what the sort of the mindset of the clubhouse and of the team is going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's been really positive. Everyone's feeling, you know, excited about this year, looking forward to this year. You know, we think we have a great team, a lot of talent. Most guys are coming back from last year. And yeah, I think everyone's looking at it with a positive outlook and obviously frustrated with how last year ended, you know, from what I've understood and from what I see. But I don't think that, you know, that's in the back of anyone's minds. And I think, you know, every time we take the field, we think that we're the best team out there.
Your first spring training start was electric. I think I watched it three times.
Yeah, it was talked about it a lot.
Yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. Top of mind.
Yeah.
Kind of freaking out. You know, up to 98 is beautiful. It looks like you have kind of worked on your changeup a little bit more. Like, have you developed that pitch more this offseason to kind of go with the fastball and have like a nice 7-8 mile an hour difference on those pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think early in my career, I was just, you know, my last couple years in Miami, we did more of it and we developed my changeup more. But early in my career, it was just kind of grip it and rip it, let my stuff play and try to overpower people. Now it's understanding that I don't just need to lean on my fastball, my slider. You know, I could have a changeup that growing up, my changeup was always great. Kind of got away from it. Now kind of getting it back into, you know, having more pitches in an arsenal where I can, if certain pitch isn't working that day or a certain pitch doesn't work against a certain guy, I'm able to lean on other ones and, you know, kind of find a different way of getting guys out.
My arms used to look like that back in the day. Yeah, when I was 27. I'm just looking at him, right? He looks good, man.
Yeah,
right? Did he come out of the gym?
Yeah. No, I wish.
Oh, man. It's not even a work. I have to work out yeah. Right there. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's a pro athlete yeah, you're sitting man, next to yeah. Right there. Yeah. So I'm sure you've told this story before. I'm sure you've been asked about it, but it's our first time with you. So you broke your finger punching the table when you played a video game in 21. So there's two things I need to know. One, three things. What was the video game? Two, do you still play it? And three, what is it with baseball players and kicking stuff and punching stuff and injuring themselves? Because it's only baseball players.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, It wasn't a video game.
Okay.
It was more of life happened, and that's something that we kind of came out and said. And I went back, and obviously I talked to my teammates, and I had apologized to them. I felt like I had let them down. And I was young. I think I was 22.
Yeah.
Stupid. You know, obviously a mistake. And I look back at it, and, everything happens for a reason, and I truthfully regret it. And because that day I actually took the mound, broke my hand, went to the manager, was like, I did something stupid. But I need to come out, and I'm not going to, let the bullpen wear this. And he's like, all right, let me out there. Obviously,
So you pitched with the broken hand.
Yeah, pitched with the broken hand.
Wow.
Didn't go well, obviously.
Yeah.
My hand was black and blue, and it was huge. But I had felt like I had let my teammates down, and I, apologized to them, said, hey, guys, this is my fault. But that's what I said. I was young and nervous and didn't know how to come about it. And then now that I've grown from it, I've learned, obviously – If life happens and things kind of start spiraling emotionally, just handle it differently. Don't hit the ground. I was just kind of angry at something, and that's what happened. And now looking back at it, I was able to now I can keep my emotions way more in check.
Now it makes me question every baseball story I've ever heard about what actually happened.
Well, I will say, I would say 90% of the things that come out on headlines are probably lies.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't tell them too many secrets.
So can I ask you four quick ones before we let you go?
Yeah.
All right. Phillies lefty Jesus Luzardo with us in Clearwater. First of all, dog guy or cat guy?
Dog.
And grow up with a dog or?
No, I have two dogs now.
Okay.
An Australian Shepherd and a French Bulldog.
Okay. All right.
Nice. Frenchies, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome. I got one of those.
Yeah. That's a lot of him energy. Right there.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
One food for the rest of your life. It's the only thing you can eat. Now you obviously have to keep, I want you to think about it. You keep your job too. Yeah. So.
Does Chipotle count?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Rice and beans.
Yeah, you can pick one dish at Chipotle.
Okay,
yeah.
Rice, beans, and steak. That's
Okay, all right.
As a vegan.
Yeah.
Well,
look at him.
Look, hey.
I don't judge.
Yeah, all right.
I wouldn't get the tofu, but I don't judge.
Yeah, he says he does 250 push-ups a day.
I do.
Does this look like a guy that does 250?
At 50 a clip. It's not 250 in a row.
That's
like,
fair.
Like, Jesus looks like he can do
five sets of 50, maybe?
Yes, I can do five sets of 50.
That's fair.
I'll do it right here for you.
No.
Okay, all right, next. All right. You have to watch one movie for the rest of your life. What is it?
Probably Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
A little before your time, too.
Yeah. I actually watched it for the first time this offseason. I, fell in love with that movie.
Oh, it's a good flick.
Yep.
And last one, you can only listen to one album for the rest of your life.
That's a tough one. Man. Probably like a Fleetwood Mac, the one that Dreams is on.
Oh yeah, the Rumors.
Yeah, Rumors.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm kind of an old
soul.
Old soul. Yeah,
yeah. There you
Jack,
go.
There he was a college pitcher. Jack.
Some say.
Hard to tell.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Doing a little analysis, what kind of pitcher do you think he was?
Righty-hander.
Yeah.
Probably
bulky.
I would say, probably like 89, 91 sinker cutter.
Sure. We'll go with that.
That's a compliment.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll take
it. That's what he said.
He'll take it.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, we love to have you on the team, and we appreciate your time down here. And good luck, man. Knock him dead.
Absolutely. Thank
Jesus
you, guys.
Lizardo from Philly.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz, live from Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater.
Well, we actually won't be right back. We're actually here right here.
Yeah, never a doubt.
Never a doubt.
Yep.
How did Luzardo know about the Fritz cutter?
But he also said you threw 91.
Well, who's to say I didn't?
Well, I think you specifically said that you didn't.
I lived 82 to 84.
Wow.
Yeah, on the blacks, though. On the black.
What does
on
that
the
mean?
Black, the outer edges of the plate.
Oh, yeah.
You're not being racist.
No, not at all.
I checked it first.
Okay,
It didn't... He got past the smell test.
It
was fine.
All right.
Just like New Orleans.
I just want to make sure. The Twitter question.
That one was tough to get
that one.
Yes.
Wait, what was the.
Because Hugh was on your radar for that one.
Oh, well, right. That one.
Did you tell that one on the air?
No, we didn't.
Well, Hugh has told that one off the air at least to me at least three times.
Yes. It's a great story.
He won't let it go either.
I don't think Jack can tell it.
No, Jack definitely cannot tell it.
Okay, all right.
So we get off the airplane in New Orleans. We're walking through the airport. This is the day we all come down.
Yeah.
So you got morning show and midday show. Flew down together. We get off, and I'm looking through the airport. As we get through the airport, I said, boy, there's a lot of us in here. And Jack replies, it sure is.
I said too many.
Oh, that's right. He said too many. So Hugh looked at me like, what? What did he just say? And I immediately knew what Hugh thought Jack was talking about, but I knew Jack didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Jack meant Eagles fans.
He meant Eagles fans. Hugh knew exactly what I meant when I said it. As I've seen a lot of us in the airport. That's why Hugh reacted the way he did when Jack said, too many.
You're on Hugh's radar, Jack.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Hugh will say to me at least once or twice a week, I don't think Jack grew up around a lot of black people. That's what he'll say. That's what Hugh will say to me. The Twitter quest is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Twitter question, did Jack grow up around a lot of black people? No. Do you like the Eagles giving Saquon Barkley a contract extension? 88.7 say yes.
And just to be clear, Jack was talking about Eagles
yes,
fans.
Yes, as a joke.
Yes, because there were a lot of Eagles fans in the airport as well.
Yes. But he was like, what you mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. I was talking about Eagles fans. I promise.
I still can't believe I said that not realizing that both of them could interpret that two different ways.
I didn't even think of it until Hugh said it.
Right, yeah, like, I knew where Hugh was going. He knew what I meant when I said that, and that's exactly what I was talking about.
I sort of think there needs to be a podcast with Jack and Hugh where everybody explains their background.
Yes.
You know, just sort of like an opening up.
Yeah, get it all out there.
Of where everyone is. 215-592-9494. Okay, Andrew, you're on WIP. What's up, buddy?
What it do, fellas? What it do?
Oh, good energy early out of you. Yes.
You take coaching. I like it.
I mean, on my way to the gym to hit chest and tries. Mike, have you ever done that before?
Done what?
Hit chest at the gym?
Yes.
Chop my hands.
Right.
I have.
Look at you. 25 years ago.
Hold up, bro. You like, okay, Andrew, you walk up like you're Mr. Olympian here.
Yeah, I know.
Let's be real.
You're kind of made of pudding, Andrew.
Yeah, like, I know I'm skinny, but do you want to go to the doctor and have him evaluate health?
I'm just saying,
it's going to go bad for you.
You backed me into a corner, buddy.
Hey, we could all have a lift off one of these days, and we could see Jack.
We could have a lift off, bro, if you want. The last time you saw a six pack was when you opened the fridge. Like, come on, buddy. Let's.
Yeah, I haven't had a six pack, but I have been pretty strong. So, I mean, I'll take it.
You can be strong. That's okay. Congratulations. What are you, lifting boulders for work? What are we doing here?
I mean, I've played sports all my life, so I mean.
Okay,
all right.
What's up?
But we're getting to the biggest news of the day. The $40 million man cutting the cap in half is what I saw from SpotRack. I don't know if that's fully correct, but I thought it went down.
I don't think that's official yet. I think they're guessing because I don't think everybody has the number. So I think everybody's sort of guessing his cap hit goes from 13 to somewhere around 6.5 or 7. But yes, it'll go down. The guess is they usually do. They extend the contract. They commit more money up front, and the cap hit for this year goes down. I imagine some point in the late 2030s, we're going to be paying for all of this, where the Eagles are only allowed to have three players on their team.
I mean, it's a great move by Howie. He does this with all of our guys. He gets the market established, and then other teams have to pay more. Bijan's going to have a contract. Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, Lord, Bijan. Well, Jonathan Taylor, he's not getting paid again.
Well, and I say this, by the way, I think
Bijan is, though.
Howie deserves credit. The person who deserves credit here is Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah.
Because it's no mystery to other teams what Howie Roseman is doing is you need an owner who is willing to say, I am giving you this much money up front, and I don't if the contract doesn't go all 4 years, I'm paying most of it. We're going to deal with the cap issues. This is I give credit to Howie. this is a Jeffrey Lurie giving Howie the thumbs up to do these things and being able to put up the cash up front and being able to say that I'm okay with that cash going out of my pocket. Again, I think Howie deserves credit for doing it, but ultimately this is an ownership decision. When these things don't happen on other teams, it is because the owner doesn't want to spend the money. The owner doesn't want to do the upfront money. Jeffrey Lurie, I think at the end of the day, deserves credit for paying the players to stay and putting that cash up front and allowing Howie Roseman to have that cap flexibility. So
this would never go on in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I agree that Howie deserves credit, but this is not about wizardry. This is about cash. And if you are able to put up that cash up front, then you're able to spread that out and not – because what's happening with other owners is, let's say Jeffrey does it one way where he's putting this $36 million up front. Another owner doesn't want to do it up front because he doesn't want to – if the player's not good after 2 years, he can get out of that half of that $20 million. And that causes more cap issues. But because Jeffrey Lurie is willing to pay that money up front, he deserves a lot of credit for that, I think.
I agree. One more thing is Turner has not gotten hit all spring training. I know it's spring training, but he's hitless, put Stott at leadoff. Bat Bryce second, put Turner fifth, and mix in a little bit of Boehm after him, and put Schwarber and maybe like Cassidy or someone at the 4-3-4, and go with that from there, because Trey has not had good at bat, and it also looks like he's trying to hit the ball 400 feet. So I think that would work out as of right now, and this Rincone kid's going to be special in a couple years.
Two for two.
All right, okay.
I love it.
What do you think?
It's good stuff. Okay.
Okay, Jack, what do you think about Trey not having a hit so far in spring training?
He worked an eight-pitch walk to start the game today. So
I like that.
Don't care.
Yeah.
But he's like, there's no point. Like, you give it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't have to change things because of spring training.
Yeah, I don't think he's not getting a hit in spring training because he's hitting first. That would be my guess. And by the way, I like Stott too, but Stott hit 240 last year,
yes.
Right? So
230 something, but yeah, regardless.
Yeah. Jack, what do we have to look forward to in the top 5 at 5 today?
As we often do on these kind of trips, the best things that have happened so far today.
I can only guess one of them.
Oh,
I think I can guess one of them.
No, there's plenty.
Well, you're already always taking notes.
There's plenty.
That's part of what he does.
Yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up next is the top 5 at 5. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.